Appreciate your ministry, Brother Nate, and thank you, Tony, for praying tonight. Thank you guys for putting this conference together. Welcome to July Alive. I love that hymn that we sang, and there are times when I ask myself that question, is Jesus all that my heart desires? It's a really important question because I need to define what that means. I need to know what it really means to make Jesus Christ my heart's desire. And as I read the scriptures, it can only mean one thing. Is Jesus Christ everything that I want to be in this world? I long to talk like Him. I long to serve like Him. I long to love like Him. I long to glorify the Father like Him. Well, if I really want to do that, if you really want to do that, as Romans 8 would put it, being conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ also conforms to a certain image, right? We read that in Hebrews chapter 1. He is the exact representation of God. And if we want to be like Jesus Christ, one thing is for sure when you read the Word of God and you read the Gospels, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit were inseparable. From conception to the cross, some people say from the womb to the tomb, Jesus and the Holy Spirit were inseparable. And this weekend, we're going to talk about a Spirit-empowered life. What happens when we're not being conformed to His image? You know what I mean. You could be saved for 15, 20 years, and you're no closer to being like Jesus Christ since the second week you got saved. It just, something happens. There's, in counseling, they teach us something called the logjam. There's a logjam in your spiritual growth. Something happened that blocked your growth to move forward and be more conformed to the image of Christ. It could be anything. It could be anything that takes your attention and your desire to be like Christ. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And what we're going to learn this weekend, if we want to be like Christ, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at that chapter and we're going to see that that chapter is pretty much about the Holy Spirit. Salvation was covered from Romans chapter 1 all the way to Romans chapter 7. What you are in Christ, what happens when you get saved, and what happens after you get saved, how you got saved, the justification of the fact that you got saved, that God did it in a just manner. All those things were covered from 1 to 7. And in Romans chapter 8, it just stops. And it really starts talking about the Holy Spirit. A very important topic in our, well, first of all, because He is God. He's not the third member of the Trinity. He's not the last among three. He's not just a helper and a comforter. And He's all those things in the sense that the Holy Spirit is a great comforter. He's an instructor and a teacher. But He is God. He is a person. And anything and everything that we do as a believer needs to be in His power because His mission is very clear in the Bible. And that is to make you holy. To be holy as God is holy. To be Christ-like for the believer in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So they that are in the flesh, listen, cannot please God. What a unique position you find yourself in here tonight. As a believer, you think of the universe and the cosmos. You, as a believer, have the ability, the power to please the one who created every grain of sand, every star in space. That to me is super unbelievable. And the only reason that I believe it is because it is written, as Bruce says it, we have it on good authority. Right? Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh. Right? Praise God. But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's why you can't please God. Makes sense, doesn't it? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, once again, is life. Life. Because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. I've always found this a very strange verse. Because it seems like it's incomplete. It's not. It's the Word of God. It's inerrant. But it seems like it's missing something, you know? It says, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. It's almost like it's missing, we are debtors to the Spirit, because we should live by the Spirit type thing, right? I think God did that on purpose to let you know you owe the flesh nothing. Zip. Zero. Your flesh has never given you anything that can get you into the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, the most nicest, most wholesome people on earth would try anything and everything in the flesh to be good people, and some of them are just amazing folks. I know people that are unbelievers that, you know, wow, sometimes they put me to shame. You know, I mean, I should be, you know, doing the things that they do and being as amiable and as nice and as kind and all those things. But the fact is that all those wonderful things that they do cannot get them a second into the kingdom of God. Because they're doing it in the flesh. And when they do it in the flesh, they reject what God has done. And that's a super horrible sin. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. We're not talking about just physical death here. We're talking about spiritual death. Eternal death. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, notice how it said, not in the flesh, but in the power of the Spirit, you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Look at another ministry of the Holy Spirit. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, before you're a believer, when you talk about God, you're like, You know, because you know in your heart of hearts, whether you want to admit it or not, as an unbeliever, you and God are in opposite directions. And you speak to God, if you believe in a God and you believe in a higher power, you know you're not going to make it. And the subject intimidates you. It causes you fear. Nobody likes to be afraid. Fear is intimidating. It says, I can't, I won't, I come short, I'm not able. And so the flesh doesn't like fear. Fear is horrible. Fear alienates you from just about everything. It mobilizes you from doing anything. But we don't approach God like that. Look at how we approach God. For you have not received the spirit again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption where we cry, Papa, Dad, Abba, Father. I don't come to God. I come to God in reverence, reverential fear, if you want to talk about that. But I'm not afraid of my God because he's been nothing but merciful, graceful, and kind. And if that's not enough, he demonstrated how far he would go to bring me to himself through the giving of his son, the Lord Jesus. So I don't come to God in fear. I come to God with joy. When I worship God, I come to just with a grateful heart, thankful that I'm not coming to him because of anything that I've done. It's everything that he's done through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't come to God afraid that I'm going to be judged. He's not my judge. He is my God. He is my Savior. And he's the Spirit that empowers me to do what it is that I need to do to please him. The Spirit itself, this is another ministry of the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Sometimes I think to myself, and I don't know if you do, but if I'm the only one in the room, well, sorry. But sometimes I think to myself, Lord, how can I think a thought like that? I mean, am I even saved? I don't get it. I mean, that's not right. The Spirit witnesses to my spirit, oh yeah, you are. You need me more than ever because of that thought, but I did it. Jesus Christ died for my sin. And I need the Spirit of God to consistently remind me, remember who you are. Remember who you belong to. You are mine. He witnesses to my spirit that I am a son of God. And if I am a son of God, like you're a son or a child of God, we need to represent. We need to represent our family. We need to represent our Father in heaven. We need to show the world who he is. And we can only do that by the Spirit of the living God who conforms us to the image of Christ. The entire purpose of us being here, the Spirit of God that's working, is he is working to give us a family resemblance. You ever heard the term... Sometimes I say things and I joke with my family, and one of my uncles would come out and say, you are your father's son. No doubt about it. You're your father's son. What a wonderful thing for somebody to say that about us that way. You're your father's son. You're your father's daughter. You act just like him. God, I crave that. Don't you crave that? To be like him? To talk like him, to love like him, to serve like him, to have that family resemblance as a son of God. The fact is that he's the Holy Spirit of adoption. And just for a second, listen, in America, when we think of adoption or adopted kids, they seem to be second nature, right? Like a second class citizen in a home. I guess they'd feel like that at first, right? Because they're not a biological child or something like that. That is not the case with God. As a matter of fact, the Roman audience kind of understood what he was saying here. To be an adopted child in the Roman Empire was a very, very long legal process. To the point that at the end of that process, that person that adopted that adopted child would lose all rights, all family rights to his previous father. His father had no hold, his previous father had no hold on him, and he had no hold on his father or anything that his father owned. As a matter of fact, to his father, he was like to his natural father, he was like he never existed, like he wasn't even born. To his new father, it was like he was just born. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? The father of lies, the minute you get saved, has no hold on you. You have no more relation to him. He no longer has a grip or a claim on you. You're the son of God. You're a child of the living God. And any claim that the enemy ever had on you is gone. Is gone. Because you're dead. You're dead. The old man died. And the new man is born in the Lord Jesus. And if children, then heirs, right? Now that you're a child of God, everything he is, everything he has, everything in his kingdom, everything is yours, including the right to become the children of God. John chapter 1, right? What a precious right. As a matter of fact, John was so incredibly wowed by that factor that he wrote, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God." Think about that sometimes. I'm related to the person who created the universe. Talk about bragging rights, huh? Like, wow. I mean, I read Genesis and I think of something like this thousands and thousands of years ago. I know him. He knows me. We're related. He's my father. He's my Abba. He's my Papa. I think of Jesus on the cross and I know him. We're related. You know, I'm his and he's mine. Wow. That's incredible. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. That's not to say that if you don't suffer, you know, you're not a child of God. Every child of God has some kind of suffering at one point or another because of the cause of Christ. It could be something as small as being rejected in your school because you have chosen to be holy. It could be so much as being rejected by somebody you really wanted to be with because you couldn't share something with him or her that they wanted you to share because you decided to be holy for Jesus. You're going to lose out on the things that the world promises you. That's a matter of suffering. You don't always have to be a missionary at the brink of death to be suffering for the cause of Christ. You could just take a stand for Christ and be rejected by the world for his name's sake. That's suffering. That's suffering. The greatest miracle that a human can ever experience is to be born again. It is the greatest miracle you can ever experience this side of heaven on earth is to be born again. Greatest miracle ever. Miraculous things begin to happen immediately when you get saved. Before you can even know what those things are, they've happened. Now, I'm going to give you a little list. It's not an exhaustive list by any means. Believe me, we'd be here for a lot longer than a weekend. And we got to see fireworks, so, you know, I'm on the clock. One of the first things, right, is the devil loses his grip on your life. He loses his grip on your mind. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it talks about being blinded. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, verse 1, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The unbelieving mind, listen. Whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Now, when you think of the word blinded, what is the first organ you think about? The eyes. But the Bible here says that your mind has been blinded. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many years of college you got, how many PhDs, certificates, all kinds of training seminars that you've been to, the great doctors of science that you've spoken to, the white sheets you've written, the books you've authored. It doesn't matter. If you don't know Jesus Christ, the enemy has blinded your mind. Your mind can only pass a certain place. You get capped at worldly knowledge. You can't go any further than that. Why? Because you do not have the Spirit of God to know the mind of God. The Holy Spirit is important in our faith. The first thing we have to realize is what a miraculous thing it is to be born again. Things start happening very fast. The one thing here, we see that the devil has lost a grip on your mind. And look at what it says. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That's important. That's important. Not only are you related to the God that created this world, but you have a light in you that has the ability to shine, to get the attention of those who are lost in darkness. Did you know that? You got a super-powered flashlight within you that even the blonde, those who are blinded by the devil cannot stop that light from going through. I was blinded, and somebody gave me the gospel, and it shined. And it shined. But you know, before he gave me the gospel, he showed me Jesus. The way he spoke, the way he acted, his integrity, never cursed, always reading the word, talking about Jesus. There was something radically different about him, and he didn't mind being different. In an industry, in a world that was radically different than he was. But he shined. I might have hated his guts, and I didn't even know why, but he got my attention. It was light. I was a cockroach in the dark. And when that light shined, I ran. Till I started running to the light. And he gave me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, I got saved. So from children of darkness, first the devil loses the grip on your mind. What else happens the minute you get saved? From a child of darkness to a child of light. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. From a child of darkness to a child of light. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. For you were sometimes in darkness. You were there for a while. But now something changed. Immediately. The minute you got saved. But now are you light in the Lord. And because of that, walk in the light. Walk as children of light. Another embarrassing thing. I have to set alarms to remind me to pray. I do it. You get so busy, you can go a whole day without prayer. It's embarrassing. I hate that. So I just set an alarm that says, I got to spend time with the Lord. I got to spend time with the Lord. So praise the Lord. I'm spending time with the Lord with you guys right now. So that's another thing that happens. The minute you get saved from a child of darkness to a child of light. So walk in the light. I think what's missing sometimes, it's not that you don't believe. It's possible to believe and not be walking empowered by the Holy Spirit in this world. I think sometimes we actually forget, or sometimes we just, whatever it is, we just forget that we are light in this world, that we have power that doesn't belong to us. We never tap into the resource. We talk about Jesus a lot. Praise the Lord, because we want to talk about Jesus. We talk about God a lot, and we want to do that. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, he has to be the most represented member of the Trinity in Christendom. Because people either use the Holy Spirit to talk about things that the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with, body motions and different languages and throwing themselves against the floor and all kinds of things that the Holy Spirit, it might be another spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. And so we think of the Holy Spirit as something like that. People say, I am full of the Spirit, and they do things and say things and act a certain way. You want to know somebody that's full of the Holy Spirit, you can tell, and I can tell by one word. Jesus. Somebody who's filled with the Holy Spirit acts like Him, talks like Him, desires to be like Him and serve like Him. Somebody that is filled with the Holy Spirit, whose life is empowered by the Holy Spirit, lives in this world as Christ lived. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes you Christ-like. He conforms you into the image of Jesus Christ. This is prep time, this side of heaven. And we want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and led that way. This weekend, you'll see that that is an absolute biblical truth. We ignore the Holy Spirit many a times. We say that the Holy Spirit is a person. We have to remember that. He's a person. He speaks. He doesn't speak of Himself, but He does speak. We see that in Acts chapter 13. He gives commands. He teaches. There's a lot of things that the Holy Spirit does. But somehow, we bury Him in that, in our reverence to Jesus Christ. We don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit, right? Because we could go the other way and make an entire ministry about the Holy Spirit and Jesus is never mentioned. We don't want to do that either. Neither does the Holy Spirit for that matter. But you know, you can talk to the Holy Spirit. He's God. He speaks English. He knows. You can pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you strength, to give you enlightenment, to show you what this word means. You can ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to worship Christ unlike you've never been able to worship Him before, to see things about Him, to do things that He did, that you never, to change your desire, to change everything, to make you more like Christ. You know, you can talk to, He's God. He's God. Many say, you know, you don't go around worshiping the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is not an angel. He is God. We have to worship God. He's part of the package. He's not somebody else. He's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Trihagion in the Old Testament, holy, holy, holy. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is God. In creation, they were there. As they created man, they were all there. Let us make man in our image. From slaves to sin, another thing that happens immediately. From slaves to sin, to servants of Christ. From slaves to sin, servants of, upon redemption, when you are redeemed, you no longer have to be under the power of sin. You choose to do it. That's something different. But you're no longer a slave to it. You bring yourself to, you're no longer a slave to it. You no longer have to obey your flesh. You have power to say, no, I have tried that in my life and I have proved it to be true. Holy Spirit, help me to say no. I want to please God. And I can't do it in my own power. Help me to walk the other way. Help me to change. Help me to speak to my wife a different way. Help me to teach a certain way. Help me, Holy Spirit, to say no to sin and yes to God. It's a daily battle for me. I wake up in the morning and that's one of my first prayers. Holy Spirit, help me to please God today. Help me not to fall into the sinful patterns that are so easy for me to fall into. It could be something for you, it's something different for me, but the Holy Spirit can deliver us both just the same. You have to ask. You have to pray. He is there. He is a person. He can hear you. As a matter of fact, He dwells inside you for the purpose of trying to lead you a different direction. But He does. We're going to see that this weekend as well. From being dependent on self, oh, that's the big one. From being dependent on self to being dependent on the Holy Spirit, on being dependent on God. And we look to Ephesians chapter 3. While you're in Ephesians chapter 5, you can turn two chapters before. And we can look at 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven, notice he uses the word family. This side of heaven, the Holy Spirit gives us a family resemblance. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of glory, listen, and be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That deep part of you that you don't want anybody to see, he can change. He can change. He can strengthen you by his might, in his Spirit, to do his will in the inner man. He changes you from the inside out. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all of the fullness of God. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's a tall order, isn't it? It's a good thing. He's God. Because he can do anything. He's God. I look at that verse and I say, that's impossible. Well, then you're in good hands, because he makes all things possible. I look at myself in the mirror. You can change that. He certainly can. He's God. He's God. And in verse 1 of Romans chapter 8, that one took me a little time to understand. There is no condemnation. Listen to me. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter what the father of lies and what the accuser of the brethren tells you in your right ear or your left ear. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. None. None. Took me a while to believe that. You mean to tell me that if I'm before God right now, that there's no none? You mean what I did last? None. You know, these people know me and they could point the finger. None. There is now no condemnation. I'm teaching. None. That's a miracle. You see what I'm trying to tell you? That there's all these miracles that are going on in your life on a daily basis. You got to embrace it. You got to make it yours. You got to own it. God has given it to you. All you got to do is take it. It's not just, you know, pie in the sky when you die, when you get saved. You can have victory right here, right now. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you are led by the Holy Spirit, if you are walking in the Holy Spirit, and all these words, biblical words that are used in the Bible about your relationship with God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Many have told me, I don't know what's wrong with the church today. They don't give as much as they used to. They don't serve as much as they used to. Ministries are dying left and right. Could it be that we have forgotten to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit? Could we have forgotten God the Holy Spirit? Could we have forgotten that he's here? As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John 16, to his disciples, that it's advantageous that I leave. Can you imagine that? Jesus told the disciples, you know what the best thing for you is? That I leave. You read that verse and you're like, well, everything they did in the last 3 years was with him. He served with him. They led souls to God. They seen him raise the dead. They've gone against the whole system. They were these rebels with a cause to glorify God, to get rid of religion, to have a personal relationship with God, to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. They did everything. And the things that they saw Jesus do, he fed thousands. He raised the dead to life. And now he's telling his disciples, you know what the best thing for you? Did I go? I'm going to leave you guys here. That's what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm sure Peter was like, And John is like, don't say it, Peter. Don't. You know what's going to happen. Don't do it. Why? Because if he doesn't leave, the Spirit wouldn't come. You need the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, he said it, I didn't do it. It's best that he's not here. You need to learn how to depend upon the Holy Spirit of the living God. That's important. And somehow, we've forgotten that. I don't know how, and I don't know how it's been minimized over the decades and decades. I don't know how we've lost the fact that we need to be empowered with a power higher than we in order to do the things that God wants us to do, in order to do the things that please Him. I don't know how we lost track of the fact that we have the most powerful resource in the universe inside us every day to do the miraculous that we could never do in the flesh. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. But it happened. So the first thing that I had to do as an individual is acknowledge, I'm not living in the Spirit. I'm not living in the Spirit. Maybe I'm banking on my own intellect, my own power, my own resources, whatever. If I'm not growing, it can't be God's fault. Do you hear what I'm telling you? If you're not growing, and if you're not being conformed more to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not God's fault. He's given you everything, including His Son, His Spirit indwelling in you, so that you can do exactly what He calls you to do. You know what He calls you to do? Be holy, as I am holy. Come on, you know how hard that is. Would you look in the mirror and say, I am so holy? I am so holy. Holy moly, I'm holy. You can't. I can't. I mean, maybe you can. I don't know. I don't want to judge you. But we are. We're set apart. We're redeemed. We're washed by the blood. We're not anything that we used to be. God sees the blood of His Son when He sees you, and we're holy in that respect. But is that all you want? Or do you want to live in a way that would mark it, to use modern terms, the person and the work of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world? That's how I want to live. But it's going to take a lot more than Bible memory verses to do it. Which also, by the way, takes the power of the Holy Spirit. But you have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live for Him. How much time do I have, Bruce? 5 minutes. Right? Let's go one more place. Your reason for existence in this world, and I'm going to show you that our remaining time this weekend, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You need to be a spitting image of your Father in heaven. Talk about a tall order. But do you really believe that the Holy Spirit can do that in you? That's where the rubber meets the road, people. Yeah, I believe. I don't know how, I don't know exactly what takes place, but I know that God can do anything. If He saved me, and if He loves me, and if He can use me, it's cake for God. But that's what He wants. He wants you to remind Him of His Son every time you walk this earth. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And this process requires a power infinitely greater than all the nuclear warheads in this world put together. A power much higher than we could ever possibly exclaim and comprehend. I don't need to comprehend it to believe that God said it. That power, His power, His Spirit, the same Spirit that was in Christ from the womb to the tomb, is in me. And He's got a mission. And that's to make you more like Jesus. Do you believe that He can do it? I do. I really do. And that is what we call regeneration. from redemption, the other thing that happens immediately after you get saved is the process of regeneration. What is regeneration? It is exactly what I'm saying. Regenerate. Redo. The reset button. Everything that you are, every way you've ever thought, everything you've ever had a passion for, every desire you ever had, everything will be reset. You are going to start at ground zero. And God is going to change everything you are to make you everything that Jesus is. What a wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's desiring. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. And we thank you tonight for your Son, the Lord Jesus. What a statement. That it would be advantageous if he go away. That the Holy Spirit would come. I want to capitalize on what he did. I want to use your Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us to acknowledge your power, your goodness, your purpose and your mission in my heart and in the heart of every single believer to become the most beautiful thing any person, whether anywhere in this world or any angel in heaven or on earth could ever see, and that is the person of Jesus Christ in me. Help me, Lord. We need you so much, Lord, for this. Holy Spirit, work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.